Okay. So hello and welcome to another teleseminar sponsored by Member Solutions and, of course, taking it to the next level.com. As always, I'm honored to be on the phone with you at this moment, and I want to thank you for tuning in live or at a later date via the archive files available at Member Solutions. Don't forget to take time to review all of the information available to you at the consulting link at Member Solutions. There are a great deal of archived articles as well as audio teleseminars from myself and a host of other super talented martial arts school owners and consultants. Today's topic is something that I'm quite passionate about. And ever since I started running my first business, which was a successful landscape construction architectural company in the early 1980s, I've been a goal setter. Well, I should say a goal setter to some extent. I personally believe that goal setting is the key to success. Allow me to give you a little insight on goal setting. In my opinion, there are three different types of people. Those that don't set goals at all, these are normally people who may be employees of companies or people that really never learned to set goals. Without being condescending, I think that a good majority of these people are not as motivated to excel as the people who set goals. The second category are the people who set goals in their head. These are people that want to achieve but normally allow life to take its toll on them. They basically roll with the punches as life deals them whatever it deals them. There is no lack of motivation on their part, just a lack of focus and direction, in my opinion. The third person is the goal setter. And this is the goal setter that sets goals on paper. Normally, it doesn't really matter if you are one of those goal people. You know, if you're one of those three goal setters, or actually one of the first two goal setters, because if you're either one that doesn't set goals or two that only set goals in your head, you normally will end up with the same results, end results. So it's interesting. On New Year's, we're asked to make a New Year's resolution. The interesting thing is the very essence of the word resolution. Resolution meaning to resolve, solve, or finish, or put closure to something. If that be the case, then the end of the year and the beginning of the year, the new year, is to finalize all that you've done and put closure on the tasks that you set out to do. Most people continue to set New Year's resolutions only to realize that later on they haven't achieved anything that they set out from the prior year. In my mind, I think of the new year as just another marker in the goals that I've set and a measurement tool of what I need to do on a daily basis. The biggest problem is not desire. It's in fact that many people do not effectively know how to set goals and prioritize them as well as achieve them. Over 4 years ago, I instituted a team leadership character development program, which I have had hundreds of people cycle through in my schools. Every year I talk to the teens and the young adults about goal setting as a way to start the year. This month I spoke to them already, and almost out of all of them, they knew verbatim what I was going to say, teach, and recommend because they've been through my goal setting seminars a number of times. To my disappointment, I saw boredom in their eyes, and when I asked why, they told me they've heard it all before, and I then explained to them that just because you've heard it a year ago doesn't mean it wouldn't be refreshed this year. And as we grow and mature and things change, not on paper, but in our heads, they become different in our eyes. Remember the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That mentality is true to going over this goal setting thing. So I explained to my class I asked them if they knew all the goal setting things they needed to be successful at achieving a good portion of their goals. A good portion of those students who've been with my program for quite some time, they all raised their hands. I then asked them, out of the ones that raised their hands, how many of them actually do goal setting the way I teach on a daily basis? And only two of them raised their hands. So even though that they were bored and they knew what to do, only two out of the group of 20 actually did it. The answer to this dilemma is to continually practice goal setting until it becomes second nature and a part of your daily makeup. And the reality of saying a New Year's resolution really was clear to me after I did this little question and answer with my students. It's not supposed to be about cleanup. It's about achievement. But due to the lack of knowledge in this area, people are resolving rather than excelling. Again, to reiterate, resolve is to you know, the resolution is to resolve, to finish, to complete, to clean up, to finalize. So here's my plan in a quick one-hour seminar on how to be the best goal setter and time management person ever. Now, I must be clear that some of these concepts have been borrowed from my mentors, such as the Franklin Covey program and Stephen Covey, as well as Tony Robbins. So they're not invented by me. They're just refined and utilized so that maybe possibly they become my words. The concepts are nothing new, but honestly, it doesn't matter how new or old they are. If you've never heard them before or never used them, then they're innovative. If you have heard them before but you're not utilizing them, then they're still innovative. Again, the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, right? So now goal setting is easy in its primal form. You have a desire or something you want to accomplish, and you declare it. The fact of the matter is you need to not only think of it or say it, you have to cement it by writing it down. The first step is to write it down so you can't lose it, and now you can focus on it. I'm going to give you a few steps in order of achieving success in goal setting. So if I go too fast, I'll try to go over these again, but of course you could always get this teleseminar on a later archive, or you can email me, and of course you can email me about anything at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com, or contact anybody in the Member Solutions office and they'll forward you my email. But you can email me and I'll give you an outline of my entire speech or teleseminar that I'm doing right now. So number one, decide on the goals. Decide on the goals that you're looking to achieve. It's okay to break them into categories and have a few in each category. For example, you may have spiritual goals. Maybe you want to learn to be more altruistic by taking on a charity and helping to raise money. Or maybe you want to work in a soup kitchen or go to church more. It could also be as simple as meditating every day. That could be your spiritual goals. The next category could be physical goals. This is normally the least followed through on all goals. Health and fitness should be your top priority. When I ask people what's the most important thing to them, there are those people that say God, or they'll say family and God, or they'll say, you know, religion. But really, honestly, not to put any of those people down, the philosophy should be health. Because without your physical, this is normally the least followed through on, health and fitness should be your top priority, because without it, you don't have anything. If you're sick and in the hospital, or if you pass away, all is lost. On your deathbed, there's a saying, right? They say on your deathbed, you're not going to hope that you had worked more, or you hope that you, you know, you dieted better or kept in shape more. So your top priority is always should be health. But anyway, one category would be physical. All other goals become small compared to your health. So some examples may be to eat right, go to the gym, get enough sleep, and so on. The next category would be monetary. What do you want to do and what do you want to achieve in your business, in your career, at your job? What would you want to accomplish in order for this year, 2008, or whatever year we're in when you hear this, to be a success? How much money would you have made? How much profits? What percentage of business growth do you have? These are all goals that you could work on. Lastly, I would consider personal goals. Now, of course, health is a personal goal, but I consider personal goals like being a humanitarian, a father, a husband. What is it that you would like to see yourself as or improve upon this year? Do you want to work less? Do you want to spend more time with your family? What are your priorities? This year, I set my goal at I want to vacation, even if it's little mini vacations of 4 or 5 days, at least 20 to 30 times this year. It seems like a lot, but really it's achievable if I prioritize what I need to do and I organize my employees and my staff the right way. I should be able to spend those 4 or 5 days with my daughter or with friends or traveling the country. These are the things that one of my goal setting. Okay, here's step two. First, let me say, the first one is decide on the goals that you're looking to achieve. Step two, prioritizing your goals. You need to sort your goals out into 4 categories, which we just spoke about, and prioritize each goal. For example, in the monetary sense, if you had 5 goals, like say grow your business by 25%, save $25,000 and invest it, add on 100 new clients, now is the time to decide what is your top priority. And you need to put them in order of importance. Also at this time, you must remember that if you don't do this, you waste a lot of time and spin your wheels a great deal of time working in one area, possibly realizing that it's incomplete without one other area. So you should make sure to prioritize your goals in the order of importance. Also, this should be done in each category. So to repeat myself, prioritize your goals in the category by importance of each category. Step three, this is the most important thing in goal setting, hardest thing for most people to get, but this will make you an unbelievable goal setter. Step three is to develop a map. Your map is an acronym for a massive action plan. The thoughts being similar to taking a family vacation by car. This is an example. You want to take a family vacation by car, and you decide to go from New York to California, but you never set a plan of action or follow a map. The results could be devastating. Really, the goal is to follow up on the map on a regular basis to make sure you haven't made any wrong turns, because one wrong turn could take you hundreds of miles out of the direction that you need to go. So your map is your massive action plan. That's your roadmap to success. And here's how it works. Let's say that your goal is to lose weight, or better yet, let's change that. Let's say your goal is to get 100 students in your school. The first thought would be to advertise or market, because that's what every client asks me when they get on the phone with me on a one-on-one. How do I get more students? How do I market? I mean, there's a billion marketing ideas out there. Just go to the library or Google marketing, and you'll get a billion ideas that you could be doing in your school. The problem is not ideas. The problem is action. And we need to do more of that. So our goal is to get 100 students in the school. The first thought would be to market or advertise, but of course, both of those words are similar. So we decide to run an ad in the local paper, and let's pretend that it yields 3 calls. Those people never even show up in the school. Normally, we abandon the plan and we try something else. What do? The answer is simply set up a map, your massive action plan. There should be many avenues of marketing, tracking, and following up in place. The marketing is just a way to get the phone to ring. There are normally many other factors involving signing up new students. So, for example, how you answer the phone after it rings, how you set up the trial class call, how you follow up after the appointment is set, and what do you do when they finally arrive at your school? What do you teach after the class? How do you approach them and present them your sales material? By the way, a plug for takingittothenextlevel.com, this is all spelled out for you on my program, Month 1. And if you're not a member, you can now take advantage of your free month membership via Member Solutions. All you do is ask them. They have a coupon that they could give you for a free month membership, and we're giving at Next Level thousands of dollars worth of systems out for free. Member Solutions worked hard to put that into your package, and it's really valuable to you, and it's just another great way that Member Solutions has shown the clients that they care about their client education. Back to the systems, many, many things come into play. So if you don't have a roadmap or a map, the massive action plan, you can easily lose sight of the goal. So what happens if your goal is not accomplished? The answer is you simply keep plugging away at it until you get the results that you need. You know, the continual monitoring of a goal and readjusting along the way and the follow-up and follow-through is your key to success. Without that, goal setting is valueless. Step four, once you've written your goals, you've prioritized them, and then developed your map, your massive action plan, what do to make sure the goals are completed? This is where most people fall short. It's a step-by-step approach and directly ties into habit-forming life skills. I want to use the campaign for presidency as an example. Right now, the candidate's goal is to become the president. Many steps have had to happen in order for them to be able to even get up on the podium and run for president. So as a candidate, they have to go through primaries, and they have to gain momentum, and they have to defeat all the other nominees in their particular party. Then there's the Democrats and the Republicans, and we have to determine what their specialty is and what their USP is, unique selling proposition. Then they have to start talking to their voting public. They decide early on what their campaign is going to be. Then they do as much as they can via TV, radio, print ads, public speaking, and many other avenues to reach their voting public and sway them in the direction and the philosophies that they're selling. The entire goal of becoming the president is comprised of many little goals, and success is all ending up in one big goal of becoming the president. This analogy sounds quite familiar when you look at it. It could be your goal of getting more students. You have all these little mini tasks. So then And again, once they've achieved the goal of becoming president, of course, and I'm being a little bit sarcastic, they normally just forget about everything they talked about, and they throw all their things out the window. And of course, I'm only kidding. But step four is aligning all the little mini goals and putting them in place and continuing those goals, readjusting along the way and adding in more goals along the way to get the final result of the main objective, the goal. For example, let's pretend presidential candidate A is ahead in the race. They're doing well. Their campaign is based on whatever. Then presidential campaign B institutes a new philosophy, or they turn up some dirt on the client. All of a sudden, the entire campaign has to change. So step four is aligning the mini goals and putting them in place and continuing those goals, but most importantly, understanding, readjusting, and adding more goals along the way to get the final result of the main objective, the main goal, adding on new students, becoming the president, whatever it may be. I hope this makes sense up until this point. Very often people say, yeah, yeah, goal setting. I've been there. I've done that. And the main thing is to stick to your path, and the results, I guarantee you, are unbelievable. Here are some quick tips. Number one, the simple task of writing your goal on paper is a step in the right direction. I've had a few tips. I have a few tips to remind yourself each day. Here they are. I'll read them, and then I'll go over them again. Maybe you could jot them down quickly. But develop a list and put it anywhere and everywhere that you see, anywhere you come in contact with. Hang it on your mirror so when you brush your teeth in the morning, you see it. Put it on your computer monitor so that you see it on a daily basis. Put it on your refrigerator. Write on it, 2008 goals to achieve, or my 2008 goals of, to succeed. Another one that I used to use, which I wrote it out, I typed it out on my computer, printed it on a piece of paper, laminated it, and I used this small little 3x5 card as a money clip. So every day that I reached in my pocket to pay for something, I looked at my goals, and I was reminded every day, and as you know, we're reaching in our pocket every day to pay for something, and I was continually reminded of what I wanted to do. I remembered to look at this list on a daily basis. So number two, which is another really interesting tip, is to develop your goals as a mantra. A mantra could be something that you recite in the morning or at night, talk about it in the shower. For example, if you were going to lose weight and be in peak physical health for 2008 and beyond, it's kind of hard if you're continually reading this mantra in your head on a daily basis to go and sit in a McDonald's or any other fast food, junk food kind of store and eat that kind of food if you recite this mantra on a daily basis, because you are what you believe. You know, you are what you say. If every morning you look in the mirror and you say, oh, I don't like myself, I don't look good, I'm fat and ugly, you start to believe that, and it becomes quite depressing, and it plays a big role in your life. So it's important for your mantra to be something positive, and you have to continually say it over and over again. Although I remember, interestingly enough, being at a Tony Robbins seminar. And at the time of the seminar, we were speaking on health and fitness. Tony Robbins is a vegetarian and to health and fitness. The entire 4,000 people in the auditorium were jumping up and down and screaming in their seats, standing up and cheering about making health their top priority. For some reason, I looked back and I can see an aisle seat where a woman who was quite obese was sitting in her chair yelling everything that we were doing, except we were jumping and standing and yelling. She was sitting, but at the time she was yelling this stuff out, she was eating, and this is no joke, this is the honest truth, she was eating a thing of nachos covered in that thick, gooey, fake cheese. To me, it was kind of sad, but it wasn't much different than people who talk the talk but never walk the walk. So develop a mantra, and on a regular basis, continually say it. The third tip I would say, and the last tip for now, would be to make your goals public. Sometimes it's interesting how many people will play a big part in your goals if you do this. For example, going back to losing weight and getting in shape, you might find that most of your friends want to do the same thing. So as a group, you can help each other. You might take walks. You might go to the gym. You might do a jog. You might play sports. Whatever it may be, you should definitely make your goals public. And the unique thing is that all you need to do is possibly tell one or two people, and they'll help you achieve. But I do it because I love to challenge myself by making things public in order to get me to stick to them. I would say to my entire class that I want to lose weight and tell my class I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. And if I didn't do it, then they would think less of me. So so it has always helped me to stick to my goals. Now, there's a category of goal setting called wildly important goals. This is something that I learned from the Franklin Covey Group, and the answer to this is simple. Sometimes goals mean more to you than they do to others. So during the goal setting process, you must master your wildly important goals, and I think one of your goals, or if you're looking to achieve goal setting, one of the wildly important goals should be time management. Now, I'm going to give you an example. Member Solutions is an important part of your time management process. They eliminate a huge amount of your time spent by doing your billing for you and dealing with all the client interaction and making sure that collections are up to par. Imagine if you had to put all that time and effort into that. You know what you'd be doing on a daily basis is collecting money. To me, I've found that that very essence of Member Solutions is worth every penny that you pay and why you're a part of that program, but then they give you a million other things. Let's take takingittothenextlevel.com as another example. This program is a huge time saver due to the fact that there's no room for error. All the programs on Next Level are developed, spelled out, taught to you in sequence. So the amount of work that you would have taken to figure out the pieces of the puzzle, all you need to do is just put them into play, put them into action. This could be a wildly important goal. A wildly important goal is simply just something that's absolutely important to the success of your company. If you don't do it, you don't maintain it or complete it, then you'll not be able to achieve the end result, which could be whatever. So, for example, adding on 100 new students by year end. As I said before, it's not only about the marketing, a plan of action or the idea, a new way to do whatever. It's all about the many little things. What is it that you are going to do to get the phone to ring? There may be 30 components in that area. Then the sign-up, what do we do there? There might be 20 components in that area. Then the class, to be exciting and dynamic, there might be 15 components in that area. The promotion process, the retention of the student, the list goes on and on and on. The most important thing is that you have to develop a plan of action, your map, for all of these, and then work on them daily. Prioritizing your daily tasks are just as important as doing a yearly action plan. If you don't achieve your successes daily, then the weeks slip right by you. Soon we're back to step one, setting resolutions and trying to make up for all the lost time. You and I both know, everyone on this call, that we probably said, like, I can't believe how quick this year went by. I wanted to go on vacation. I wanted to go and play a round of golf. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to achieve excellence in a certain category. I wanted to read 20 books. And now we're resolving that resolution, and we're saying, like, wow, we resolved to the fact that we didn't achieve that stuff. Let's try to close it up and reset it. Most importantly, you have to remember that you need to take your tasks on a daily basis, break them down into the categories, and if you can, it'll be a huge help in becoming a goal-setting maven. Here's a few of them. One, set your goals daily, the night before. Prioritize them ahead of time. But this is important. Let me repeat this because this is an important key to success, is to set your goals daily, the night before, and prioritize them ahead of time. Many times when the days begin, when you start your day, you're swept away in the day-to-day. If you're prepared ahead of time, you'll be able to stay on track much better. If little things come up, you can easily achieve those, take care of those things, and then move right back on your day-to-day goals, your top priorities. Number two is never lose sight of the big picture. There always has to be a big picture. If your daily goals are not congruent with monthly and quarterly and yearly goals, then you'll again find yourself making New Year's resolutions rather than celebrating your successes. So you have to remember that you have to have a big picture goal. If you don't have that big picture goal, what's going to happen is you're constantly going to be spinning your wheels, and at the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of the quarter or the month or the year, you'll find out that you really haven't achieved all that you wanted to achieve. Number three, remember that not every day will be a huge success. There are many things that life will throw at you, and staying the course will determine your level of success in life. We call the things that get in the way speed bumps. In fact, without speed bumps in your life, it wouldn't be realistic. In fact, just realizing that there are going to be speed bumps in there and they're a part of your life will help you to work with them and achieve no matter what. My yoga teacher, who's alive and well at 121 years old, said to me, "Speed bumps are a way for you to stop, take notice, and slow down enough to to realize that there are other things present. I thought that was quite insightful. And after being 121 years old, how could it not be? But he asked me, he said, what is a speed bump? And some people actually ask the class, and some people say, oh, they're there to annoy you. They're there to get in the way. They're there to do this. But really, they're not just to slow you down. Most people said to slow you down, but they're there to slow you down and force you to take notice what's going on around you. Most people just rip over speed bumps. They ride around them. They don't slow down at all because they don't realize that by not slowing down, they're hurting themselves. Number three, remember, not every day will be a huge success. Number four, get back on track if something gets in the way. This is called forwarding or moving tasks forward. The goal is to set your goals ahead of time, prioritize them, and work at achieving them. I normally give my goals an A, B, C category. The most important goals are category A. Next is B, and then the third is C. In each category, each goal is then prioritized by number. For example, A1, A2, A3, and A4. I never go beyond 4. Then B1, B2, B3, B4, and then C, and so on. I normally don't go past the letter C, and I don't normally go past the number 4. This way, my top goals, the wildly important goals, are then first achieved. I don't start at C1 or C2, even if I find this to be an easy task. I'm going to try not to get off track, but what I find with people who do lists of things to do, and if I gave my employees a list of 20 things to do, quite often I find the most favorite and easiest things get achieved first. In fact, when I used to just do a list of things to do, I would literally achieve something that wasn't on the list, and I would write it on the list and check it off just so I could feel like I achieved something. When I learned to prioritize my A, B, and C goals and be disciplined about them, and I knew that my wildly important goals, my A goals, were my keys to success, but I realized that if I didn't stick to those goals, it would just be busy work, paper pushing, and junk getting done. I wasn't stepping forward every day, so my wildly important goals were my A goals, and I knew that I started on my A goals until they were achieved. Then I went to B and C. Now, in everyone's defense, sometimes a goal takes more than one day, and you might can't just prioritize and just do that one goal, but always remember that your A goals are top priority and in order of, in sequence, B and C. It's okay also to take a goal and not achieve it in one day and forward it to the top of your list the next day. Now, a C goal might be cleaning your office. You can't put a C goal off for eternity. You may eventually have to make your C goal that you've been forwarding from day to day to day your A1 priority, or else your desk is going to look like, you know, Oscar Madison's on The Odd Couple, if anyone remembers that show where, you know, it was just a total horror show. So this way, my top goals, the wildly important goals, are then first achieved. And after all of these are achieved, the most important goals, I then step over to my B goals. And then B's next, and the C's are normally what I consider busy work, like checking email. Of course, if you don't use email to do business, maybe just got messages from a friend, or you maybe have a client that's going to get back to you. If your emails are not a priority, maybe you shouldn't answer them. But example, maybe answering your calls or checking your voicemails should be of utmost importance. By doing that, you're going to deal with your clients, new clients, retention of old clients. By not doing it, you may lose people, so that might be an A priority. But talking to an unsolicited telephone company on, you know, changing your phone service or your credit card machines may take up your entire morning or waste a half an hour of your time that you could be using on your A priorities, then maybe now we have to realize that we shouldn't do that, so we could put it off to another time. Ask the person to call you back. You know, screen the phone call before it comes in, because the goal is to stick to the priorities in order. And what we say is putting out the fires as they come. For example, you might have on your list that you're going to do X, Y, and Z as an A priority, but all of a sudden Mrs. Jones, who's a client, walks through the door and she's livid, she's angry, she's mad, she wants to talk to you. You can't just put her off and say you're a C priority. That will become a priority, but it's not really your A priority. It's really a fire that you have to put out. It's considered a priority, but it's not on your list, so you have to put that fire out and look at your list and refocus right back on your goal setting. Last but not least, and of course there's so much more to do to this than I just spoke about, and it's an entire art form. And oh, by the way, you could read the books First Things First by Stephen Covey, First Things First by Stephen Covey, or attend a Franklin Covey time management seminar if you have one in your area. It's phenomenal. I've been to them on a regular basis, like every other year, just so I could refresh to see if they have any new technologies, but mainly it's just to remind myself of what I've forgotten or the habits that I've neglected to follow up on and follow through. The last thing I'd like to talk to you about is setting outrageous goals. Almost every goal that I've ever achieved, some of them were so wild and I never knew it was possible, like, for example, buying my sports car or having one of the most successful martial arts schools on the planet or owning a second home, a 20-acre ranch upstate New York that I could go to when I felt like it. I never thought I'd achieve that stuff, but I set the goal and I stuck to it. So don't hesitate on setting wild goals. I have a friend of my dad's always wanted to own an island. And that sounds like, you know, that's crazy. Only like people like, you know, Trump or Rob Kiyosaki or, you know, Buffett and billionaires own their own island. But this guy set his goal. He owned two gas stations and he eventually ended up buying his own island. It was crazy. It had like a 25-room mansion on it. It was just crazy that he owned this island, but he set his goals and he stuck to them. So a outrageous goal is something that you should stick to. Just remember that all of your goals must tie into the big picture. For example, you can't wish to be the next American Idol and not be able to sing. We all know how that turns out and how many people actually think they can sing and they want to become American Idol and they go to the auditions, but they're made a mockery of due to their lack of talent. But you could certainly say you want to be the most famous karate guy in the world, or you want to do a movie or write a book or put $1 million in the bank and so on and so on. Setting outrageous goals could be quite fun. And when you get closer each day to that goal, it becomes more realistic and you can push the envelope more and more. At an early age, I knew I wanted to become a millionaire, and I didn't know to what capacity. I never knew what that meant. But on paper, you could be a millionaire. In the bank, you could be a millionaire. There, it depends on what you have. And for me, it's still to be determined what is my millionaire status or what's my wildly important goal or what goals I want to achieve, because I'm still alive, setting new goals and keep moving forward. Another thing, too, is always remember that your goals may change. Your goal at this moment might be to run a martial arts school and have the most successful school and have 400 students. You may run the school for, let's say, 2 years to 3 years and find out that, wow, I'd rather change and realign my goals because I don't want to have 400 students. I'd rather have maybe 100 highly paying, quality students with less headaches. So along the way, your goals may shift. And also another important thing to remember is that we constantly have to tweak our goals. This goes on a lot with college students. I think that, you know, they're not sure of what their major is going to be in college, so they take general courses. Some students may want to become lawyers or doctors, and then along the way they find out that they don't have what it takes to study, so they realign their goals. I think a big problem is many college students get out and they don't really know what they want to do. They have a broad education, and they don't know exactly where they want to be in life. And what happens is they flounder, for lack of better words, for a long period of time before they find their niche. I also believe that this is quite normal in martial arts schools. I think the analogy, and I've said this many times on my conference calls, is that we start off as students. We end up somehow teaching a class here or there, and get the taste for being a martial art teacher. Then we eventually decide that we want to open up a school, whether it be in conjunction with our instructor, or we disalign with our instructor and we go off on our own and we open up a martial arts school. We never truly know what it takes to open up a martial arts school, but we go out, we see a building for rent, we have some money in the bank, we rent the building, bam, we're open. We're out there now trying to grow our school. We don't really set our goals and say, okay, within the first quarter, I want to have 20 students, and then set out our MAP, the Massive Action Plan, and take an approach. And then we never really know what kind of education we're supposed to have in business, so we don't set aside goals to say, I'm going to educate myself in the category of marketing or cold sales or cold calls or phone telemarketing or whatever. So this all ties our business plan ties into our Massive Action Plan. So what is it as a school owner that you want to achieve? What is it that would you like to see, you know, not only year-end? Of course, I'd like to grow my business this year by 25%. Long Island seems to be a tough market right now. We're having a hard time keeping students in the door, keeping people paid, paying on time, and growing. So that's quite a lofty goal to say, even though that we're in what we call a recession, I would say almost, in Long Island, where people are affected quite heavily by the high taxes and you know, the expenses and so on, what is it I'm going to do to grow my school by 25%? I'll give you an idea. We just basically hired a marketing executive to take over all of our marketing, and they're going to oversee our entire marketing campaign. Up until now, I've been the marketing executive. I've dealt with graphic designers. They've come up with ideas. I've given them my ideas, and I've had this huge marketing campaign going on behind the scenes. But I now will have a more congruent, focused marketing campaign that's concentrating on maybe one of four messages or four messages, marketing to the 3 to 5 year old category, marketing to my junior 5 to 8 year old category, marketing to teens, and marketing to adults. And we're going to have a specific marketing campaign, congruent and consistent on a regular basis, going for that marketplace. This marketing exec that we hired is going to be able to help me focus all my thoughts, put the plan in action, and help me do what I need to do. So I could use their expertise, and they're going to help me achieve the results that I'm looking to achieve. What is it that you as a martial arts school want to do for the year? What would you like to do? How much money do you want to make? What do you want to do to grow? I'll give you an example. One of my top elite clients, him and his wife are Chuck and Kara Jean Greco. They run Westchester Martial Arts. They're elite clients, meaning they do a weekly client interaction with me where we do a 40-minute call. When we initially started, we started working on little things, many, many little things, like realigning first his price structure, then his schedule, then his upgrade programs. And then we started talking about parent communication. We started talking about how they were going to develop this interaction between the clients and the students and the instructors. And we started to refine, not totally renovate and revamp, but refine these little processes, because my concept is always about maximization. If you're doing okay and you're getting a few people through the door and signing them up, it's not so much about getting, you know, the ad out there. It's really about getting better at signing up. Let me clarify that. Let's say you get 10 inquiry calls for the month, and out of the 10, you sign up 5 for a trial class. Out of the 5, you actually enroll 3. Rather than getting more advertising out there to get 30 calls, what you should do is get better at the phone, better at your sale, better at your sign-up. So now you have 10 calls. Now you're signing up 8. Without any more incurred cost for marketing, you've added on 3 more clients. Now, of course, a smart businessman would say, at that point, when you've refined and maximized the quality of the way you do things, now if we double our advertising, rather than signing up only 10, you would have signed up 16. Nearly double what you signed up before, nearly. So what we need to do is set our goals, set our marks, and say, take your staff, take your wife, your partner, whoever it may be, and take the time one day for like 5 hours and clearly define your goals for 2008, again, or whenever you listen to that, for the year that you're in, and say, what do I want to do in this month in January? What do I want to do by March? Or what do I want to do for the quarter? What am I going to have done and achieved and stuck to and focused on by the half-year mark? How much money should I be making more? I have clients in my elite client program that have, no joke, quadrupled their income, quadrupled it. One of them, within less than a year, has gone from $8,000 in sales to as high as $27,000 in sales at his school. And you know the real kicker is they only added on 35 new students. Is that amazing? So this is what I'm talking about on a regular basis, maximizing the quality of what you do. And it's all by goal setting. Okay, Kathy, I'm going to open it up now. That was 45 minutes on the nose of me talking without stopping. So I'm going to open up if anyone has a question, comment, and I haven't even checked out the website yet for anybody who wrote in questions. So let's see if that's coming in. And, Kathy, does anybody have questions online right now so we could open it up now?
Allie, I don't see any online just yet, but the phone lines are open. So if anybody on the phone lines have questions, they can shoot.
Great. Does anybody have a question out there, anybody at all? Don't be afraid now. It could be on anything. And don't be embarrassed. I mean, it could be on anything that even if it doesn't pertain to this seminar, I'd be happy to answer the question. Anybody at all? Going once, going twice. Okay. Again, I take this as a compliment when no one asks questions, because obviously either one, you guys are out there multitasking, which of course I understand is important, but then again it goes back to the old age priority of what is more important to you. Yeah, you can multitask, and I talk to my students, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this as well, that you know what? When we talk to our children in our classroom, they're probably only hearing about maybe 30% of what we're actually saying. You know, they're looking at their fingernails, they're playing with their uniform, they're looking down at the floor. Our problem is sometimes we don't make focus our top priority. And I'm a creature of this as well. I'm going to give you an example. Have you ever read a book and found that after 3 or 4 pages, you don't even remember a word that you read? Or maybe you read the book and you remember the words, but they never really sink in. Well, that's why I think that multitasking is a good thing. But if you want to achieve excellence, you got to really focus on something 100%. Then it goes back to goal setting. You know, you guys are on the call. You've made the step. But it goes back to maximization. You're making the step to be on this phone call, yet you might not be listening 100%. So let's make sure that we don't multitask, we pay attention, we take notes, and we start putting it into action. Without that action plan, that massive action plan, we're in trouble. And we need to always continually make sure we follow up on that. Okay, without rehashing anything, I have one other tip that I want to give you guys, and then I'll ask for questions again and I'll close. It's all about fires, putting out mini fires. Many times our lives as business owners are overrun and inundated with fires. Continually, every day, we're trying to kind of just get everything, all the little mini fires put out so that we could survive. And then by the time we're done with all of that, we're jumping right onto our gi, onto the floor, teaching and doing what we do there. What we need to do is make sure that we recognize what's a fire and what's a task and what's a priority. And the way you do that quite often is by listing your daily tasks, listing what you have to do on a daily basis, making sure that you know what your goals are and what your map is, your massive action plan, and what you're going to do on a daily basis to step one step closer to that goal, to achieve that goal, to get that goal accomplished and put away or build upon that goal. Let's say, for example, the goal is that 100 student mark for the year. Now what you want to do is take your goals or whatever they are, and you want to work towards that. And it may be to have an ad running in the paper. It may be to get 100 lead boxes out to stores. It may be to run an ad in the telephone book. It may be to start your referral program, have a buddy day, do a income generator, go to a school and do a public speaking event, or maybe go in as a special person and visit a classroom. Whatever it may be, you have to have all these things set out, because if you don't, you're going to find that a week, a month, and a year is going to go by and nothing is going to have been achieved. That's the big problem with goal setting. There was a study done by Harvard University or Harvard School, and they said that 100 people were in the study on goal setting. Some of you may have heard this before, and it's a very, very popular thing that's quoted by anyone who's teaching goal setting. Out of the 100 people, they set goals. And then they later on, about 20 years later, went back over and they found that out of the people that actually set the goals on paper and stuck to them, and then there's only maybe a small portion, I don't know the exact statistic, but let's say 10 out of 100 stuck to their goals and were regular goal setters and stuck to the methods of goal setting, they had a combined net worth of the entire 100 people, the 10 people. They were much more richer, successful, and they achieved on a regular basis and had all their wild dreams just because they set goals, rather than the other 90 people who didn't. So your goal setting is your top priority. Again, remember, you don't want to be in the category of setting a resolution at the end of the year and saying, Allie, I wanted to have 100 students, but we still have, you know, the same amount as we started with. Many schools will level off and stay there. And, you know, my school is experiencing this right now, where we've had, you know, upwards of 1,200 students, and now we're in quite a little bit of a recession where it's dropped down about maybe 15 to 20% in our enrollment, and now we're changing our entire approach to marketing. We're changing our entire message to the public. We're changing our entire approach on how we deal with our clients. And actually, quite honestly, I'm liking the decline in membership because I'm starting to make up for it in higher income programs and less aggravation due to the families and more people and more complaints and issues. I have less to deal with, and I'm making as much, if not more, than I was with that amount of students. So this is a model. And again, I have another client of mine that does elite consulting, and they have a beautiful model where they charge about $140 a month. They only have 100 students, and they're grossing about $18,000 to $20,000 a month on a regular basis. The kicker is they only teach 14 hours a week. That's it. Imagine 14 hours a week being your full-time job, making $20,000 a month, doing that, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 a week for 14 hours worth of work. That's crazy. So I believe that the new model of the martial art business is not about volume and massive students. It's about quality of student, and it's about high income, high profitability, and low stress and high quality. Anyway, that's really it for today. I hope everyone online has enjoyed this call, because as you can tell in my voice, I'm quite passionate about goal setting. I'd love to offer to you if you want. I could send you an outline. I could send you some of my goal setting sheets. So it doesn't matter when you hear this, just email me at Renshi, RENSHILININJA@AOL.com. That's Renshi, LININJA@AOL.com.